You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today for Friday, January 19th, 2018. It's an exciting day in the world of sports, exciting weekend in the world of fantasy sports. Lots to come this weekend. I am Scott Engel, the managing director of rotoexperts.com. I am the king. I am fantasy. Our top story as a company here is, and we'll tell you more about it, and you can check it out on rotoexperts.com right now, dailyroto.com, sportsgrid.com. Our Drew Dinkmeyer was named Humanitarian of the Year by the Fantasy Sports Trade Association last night as they started handing out their yearly awards. Congratulations to Drew, who is an excellent fantasy player and an excellent person, obviously, as well. Very proud to have him as part of the team. As we move on, we'll see how Drew and other fantasy players do in the conference championship games this weekend. We have New England and Jacksonville surrounded by a lot of microscopes now as everybody is concerned about Tom Brady's hand. We'll let you know more about that, maybe how it can affect his outlook for this week if you're playing daily in it or any sort of postseason league. And there's other NFL news as well. More coaching rumors. Not a very busy day, but enough to tell you about. In the NBA, we saw that it was a light night with only four games in the association, but we saw the return of James Harden. We'll let you know how he did. And Kyrie Irving was not able to play for the Celtics. Major League Baseball, not a lot of hot stove news yesterday, but we'll give you what we have. We'll update you on the Career Builder Challenge in golf. Will Danica Patrick be racing at all this year? We'll let you know about that. We'll have the night in the NBA. And it's a big weekend in esports as well as week two of Overwatch of stage one will wrap up this weekend. And the North American League of Legends Championship Series will begin on Saturday. We'll tell you some about that. You want to go to sportsgrid.com this morning for the latest esports news and roundups from the esports network, including Chris Ventra with his Overwatch League roundup and power rankings, and also the latest Counter-Strike Global Offensive preview for the big event coming up in Boston. So we'll talk about that as well. And fantasy baseball is not too far around the corner at this point. You hear a lot about it on the Roto Experts in the morning every day from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern. Of course, we have the Fantasy Frenzy from 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern, followed by the Fantasy Best Friends Forever from 11 to 12 p.m. Eastern. 11 a.m. to noon Eastern. And don't forget to listen to my new Fantasy Hall of Fame Hour with G. McCaffrey on demand, and we'll also air Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. We'll start getting into the NFL next.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Back here on Fantasy Sports Today, I'm Scott Engel, and although, according to ESPN, a source says Tom Brady's injured throwing hand should be okay for the championship game on Sunday in the AFC against the Jaguars, Brian Hoyer is preparing to be ready in a pinch. The Boston Globe early yesterday reporting that Brady had resumed practicing, but then the team officially listed him as a non-participant yesterday. And as Dr. A was saying yesterday on the Roto Experts in the morning, the Patriots are being kind of coy about exactly what digit on the throwing hand it is. And you want to listen to that on demand because he talks about the closer the injury is to the pointer finger, the worse it could be. If it's further away, it'll affect the grip of the football. If it's the pinky finger, no big deal, but you have to assume with all the speculation that it probably isn't the pinky and maybe not even the ring finger. But who knows? I'm guessing. Everybody's guessing. It's on his throwing hand. Purportedly, he was wearing gloves yesterday in practice, which is something that he usually does not do. So we'll have to wait and see here. I remember when the Giants beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl for the first time. Brady was not 100%. He was kind of banged up, and he didn't play his best game. And maybe the Jaguars will take a similar approach on Sunday as they try to complete their Cinderella story here and go to the Super Bowl for the first time. Hitting Brady, hitting him hard, knocking him off his spot. There's going to be no mercy because there's a ton at stake here. Brady does have 5 rings, but the Jaguars don't even have a trip to the Super Bowl, and they're going to be doing everything they can defensively to knock Brady out of this game if they have to. From a daily perspective, it's kind of shaky, which makes Brady seem to be a contrarian play, and you can't be comfortable about using him. If you're one of those one-and-done fantasy pools, you might want to go in another direction here. The fact that it's been reported that Brian Hoyer is ready if he has to be, has to raise some concerns. But then there's the other part of this. This just could be gamesmanship by the New England Patriots, keeping their opponents off balance. Bill Belichick is the master manipulator, and this whole thing could be working to his advantage. So nobody knows for sure. Could I be wasting airtime by speculating? Yes, but hey, it's fun. But from a fantasy perspective this weekend, if you're shooting between Brady and another quarterback in daily or whatever, I would go the other way because my advice has always been during the fantasy regular season, and it's not going to change during the playoffs, is when in doubt, always go with the healthy player. So I would probably be in favor of using Case Keenum as my top quarterback for this weekend, even though he's playing on the road. Outside of Brady, well, there's really not any quarterback to like for fantasy this weekend because none of them have really good matchups. Blake Bortles against Belichick and Matt Patricia, what's there to like? Really nothing. Nick Foles against the Minnesota defense, which arguably is the best in the NFL, but certainly the best in the NFC, what's there to like? Case Keenum on the road at Philadelphia. Philadelphia's defense played really well last week. Can't expect a lot of numbers. You can't expect quarterback to boost you in daily this weekend. Of course, you want to go to dailyroto.com and see what they say for this coming weekend as well. And, of course, Lineup Lock Live tonight, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network with Tony Cincotta and Dane Martinez. But you would have to rank the quarterbacks outside of Brady based on potential production regardless of matchup, and I think that would put Keenum first, then probably Bortles second because of the rushing ability, and maybe has the least imposing matchup in terms of pure defense, and then I would probably go Nick Foles after that, although in 2 postseason games he has a rating over 100, but still I'm not expecting much from Nick Foles. Adam Thielen was back at practice. He'll be good to go. No worries about him for the conference championship game. And then you also have, as well, the situation at running back. Rex Burkhead is practicing, so that New England backfield is going to be a mix-up. So let's move on to some other offseason news here in the NFL. A According to the Cardinals' official website, David Johnson is now fully healthy as he has recovered from that wrist injury that ruined his 2017 seasons and hurt a lot of fantasy players last year as well. If you're able to overcome that Johnson injury and still win your league Super Bowl, even make it, I commend you. It shows how good of a fantasy owner and manager that you certainly are. So with that, we can comfortably pencil in David Johnson as a top five pick for next year, possibly top four. I think people would debate, put him in a drum, let him roll out in some sort of order between Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley, David Johnson, and Antonio Brown. I would probably veer towards taking a running back first because wide receiver is a little bit deeper, as majestic as Antonio Brown is. But it's very rare when you get players of those calibers like Bell, Johnson, and Gurley. People are probably going to rank Johnson third because he's coming off of an injury, and Gurley second because he's coming off of such a great season. Le'Veon Bell, probably the first pick off the board in a lot of leagues, though, because we've seen him do it more consistently than the other guys. And he's not coming off a major injury. He was able to stay healthy this year, stay out of trouble. I think a lot of people are assuming Le'Veon Bell is going to come back to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So right now, I'd probably rank it Bell, Gurley, David Johnson, Antonio Brown, and then Ezekiel Elliott is my top five. If Elliott caught more passes, maybe it'd rank him a little bit higher. Maybe he'd be the number one overall. Some other offseason NFL news as we move it back to the coaching trees. According to published reports, Panthers defensive coordinator Steve Wilks interviewed for the Tennessee head coaching vacancy on Thursday. The Panthers had the seventh-ranked defense this past year, have always been a solid unit under Wilks. Certainly it helps to have guys like Luke Kuechly, Thomas Davis, but still, you have to give him credit. Also, the Titans interviewing Texans defensive coordinator and former NFL linebacker Mike Vrabel on Thursday. The Texans defense finished 20th this year, but they did have a lot of injuries. You have to remember that 2 years ago that the defense was ranked number one, and Mike Vrabel was part of that as a linebackers coach. So I think a lot of potential employers for him are looking past what happened this previous season. According to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the Falcons have two interesting prospects for their head coaching vacancy, including Darrell Bevell, who was fired by the Seahawks as their offensive coordinator earlier this week. The Seahawks offense, very inconsistent this year. The passing game ranked 14th. A lot of that was because of Russell Wilson carrying more than 80% of the offense. But Bevell is still well-respected around the league in a lot of ways. Kent Dorsey, who was also fired by the Panthers recently, is also going to be interviewing for this Falcons quarterback job. Dorsey led a passing offense that ranked 28th. Neither one of these are very inspiring hires, but I think if you were a Falcons fan, you'd probably rather Bevell than Dorsey. According to the New York Daily News, the Jets may promote from within as they got rid of offensive coordinator John Morton this week, and they may promote quarterbacks coach Jeremy Bates to the offensive coordinator. Easing a transition there, but then once again, you have to question why the Jets would do this. If they're going to fire Morton, why did they promote the quarterback's coach? Reportedly, he's well-respected as a game planner, but the Jets' passing game ranked just 24th. But still, when Josh McCown was in there, you did see a lot from Robbie Anderson in a breakout year. Jermaine Kearse played above expectations. So maybe the Jets do see something there and want to give him the opportunity. But I think a lot of Jet fans will naturally question it, and I don't think you can blame them. Falcons GM Thomas Dimitrioff told reporters on Thursday that a top priority for him this offseason will be extending Matt Ryan, who's in a contract year. I don't expect to see Ryan wearing anything but a Falcons uniform. Also, he told reporters that Devonta Freeman will not require knee surgery for sprained MCLs and PCLs. And the Miami Herald reporting that the Dolphins won't stray away from taking a quarterback at number 11 overall if there's the best player available on the board. The NBA is next.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Back here on Fantasy Sports Today, I'm Scott Engel. We bring you the latest in NBA. But before we do that, I want to ask you, are you thinking giving DFS a try? Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pools, smaller fields, and single entry contests only. Fantasy Factor runs NFL and NBA free rolls every week with free entry. Simply sign up and enter at www.fantasyfactor.com. That's www.fantasyfactor.com. Let's go over some of the major news here and then and some of the injury notes. There wasn't a lot. Only four games in the association last night. But James Harden returned from a seven-game absence because of a hamstring injury in Thursday's win against Minnesota. He missed 12 of 15 shots from the field, only ended up with 10 points, 7 assists, 2 rebounds in 26 minutes. He was expected to play about 25, so they got him the minutes he wanted. Harden was certainly rusty, and that's certainly what was communicated in the post game. But he felt like he played well defensively. It's just a matter of time real quickly before Harden gets back into a groove here, and that's going to affect guys like Chris Paul and Eric Gordon and, you know, players like that as he moves back to the forefront. Chris Paul played very, very well while he was out. Going to be very interesting to see, just as a pure NBA watcher, to see these guys playing regularly on the court with each other. The Rockets played pretty well overall with when Harden is out here and were able to survive it. But from a fantasy perspective, this is going to obviously hurt the numbers of some other players. Kyrie Irving was not able to play against the Sixers on Thursday in the latest loss for the Boston Celtics, who have now lost two consecutive games after winning three straight. They've been kind of up and down. Marcus Smart started for Kyrie Irving last night and had 13 points and 5 rebounds. We'll see if he can play in the next game as he's day-to-day with that sore left shoulder. Derrick Rose, the latest return for Derrick Rose, who always seems to be returning from something, returned for the Cleveland Cavaliers in a tight win over the Orlando Magic, 9 points in 13 minutes, not high on the fantasy radar. Jamal Murray, as he remains in the concussion protocol, is not expected to play tonight. And also, James Ennis is not expected to play as he deals with a calf problem. So let's go through some of the box scores here. It was the Trailblazers 100 and the Pacers 86. And it's becoming obvious that Damian Lillard is getting back into form after dealing with calf and hamstring problems recently. Last night, 26 points and 8 assists, 2 for 8 from 3-point range, but was 8 from 21 overall, and 8 for 8 from the free throw line. Overall, the Trailblazers shot only 39% from the field, but because they were so effective on the boards, etc., and they were also 16 of 16 from the free throw line, they were able to survive that. Al-Farouq Aminu started. He had 12 points and 9 rebounds. Yusuf Nurkic, in what is being termed as maybe his best performance in a Portland uniform, with 19 points and 17 rebounds. Evan Turner, only 2 points in 25 minutes. C.J. McCollum had 16 points for the Blazers last night. Shabazz Napier is continuing to get quality playing time. 29 minutes as the Blazers start to use 3-guard rotations to get him more involved. He had 13 points in 29 minutes, but he did miss 8 of 12 field goals. That won't help your field goal percentage. The Pacers try to continue to soldier on without Miles Turner. Quiet night for Bogdan Bogdanovic, 8 points. Thaddeus Young had only 10 points, but he had 14 rebounds. Sabonis, playing for Turner, only 9 points, but he did have 10 rebounds. Darren Collison and Victor Oladipo each had 23. Oladipo ended up with 7 rebounds. So let's move on to Minnesota and Houston, and the road has not been kind to the Minnesota Timberwolves. As you may recall, as we mentioned on this show, this team is coming off of a 5-game homestand in which they won every game, but now they're on an extended road trip and they have lost their first 2 games on the road trip. Andrew Wiggins, only 16 points last night. Karl Anthony Towns with a very good night, 22 points, 16 rebounds. Jeff Teague, only 6 points in 32 minutes as he missed 5 of 8 shots from the field. Jimmy Butler with 22 points, and he shot 8 for 15 from the field. Terrence Jones had 13 off the bench. For the Rockets, Luke Mbamute in the starting lineup last night, 14 points, 5 rebounds. Maybe some people use him as a daily punt. Ryan Anderson, only 6 points, but he did have 7 rebounds. Clint Capella, very good in the middle, 20 points, 5 rebounds. Chris Paul, 19 points, 6 rebounds, 9 assists. Mentioned James Harden getting the start as well. Eric Gordon came off the bench in 35 minutes. He had 30 points, shooting 11 for 19 from the field. But with Harden back, I think that you're going to see his numbers reduced. He was already out of the starting lineup last night. I don't know how savvy the people are in your league, but I guess I'd be trying to sell high on him. But it might be hard to, because I think everybody else who plays fantasy basketball is probably going to know that his value is about to take a hit. The Cavaliers have not played well lately. They have lost 8 of their last 12, and they escape with a victory against the lowly Magic last night, 104-103. LeBron James, who 10 days ago had a 10-point game, only had 16 points last night, 5 rebounds and 6 assists. His plus-minus was -4. Not the best night for James. Kevin Love with 12 points and 11 rebounds. Jay Crowder with 10 points, 5 rebounds. Isaiah Thomas with maybe his best game of the year so far, 21 points for him as well. And Jeff Green had 10 off the bench. Dwayne Wade had 11 off the bench. For the Magic, it was a good night for Aaron Gordon. He continues to have them, 17 points, 11 rebounds. Evan Fournier rebounded from an off game, 17 points, 5 rebounds. Jonathan Simmons, 16 points. Bismack Biyombo, only 4 points, but he gets it done in other categories with 10 rebounds. He was in foul trouble last night. Elfrid Payton, been kind of up and down, but 19 points and 8 assists last night. Maurice Space was back for the Magic. Really didn't matter fantasy-wise. Shelvin Mack, 10 off the bench. Mario Hezonja, 12 off the bench as well. Only one other game last night, and it was the classic rivalry as the Celtics honored the memory of JoJo White, who passed away this week at the age of 71. White, the 1976 Finals MVP for the Celtics, was honored. But the Celtics lost the game 89-80. The Sixers getting 16 points from Dario Saric. Joel Embiid with a very impressive performance, though. 26 points, 16 rebounds, and 6 assists, maybe celebrating being named to the All-Star team. Off the bench, TJ McConnell had 15. He scored all of those in the first half. The Celtics getting 14 from Al Horford. Only 3 rebounds and 3 assists. Kind of an off night for him. Also, Marcus Smart, we mentioned, 13 points, 5 rebounds. Jaylen Brown with 12 points and 4 assists. And Morris with 14 off the bench. And that was pretty much it for the Celtics. So, that was it last night in the NBA. Kind of a light night, but we'll be heading into a more busy weekend in the association with a lot going up on tonight. Of course, the All-Star rosters were announced. You can check those out anywhere online. Not really fantasy relevant, although I'm sure a lot of fantasy writers will be now writing their midseason fantasy All-Star teams at this time of year. But we're here to tell you what matters fantasy-wise. You can get that kind of stuff just about everywhere else. You come here to Fantasy Sports Today every day because you're a fantasy player and you want your fantasy fix every morning. That's what we give you every day, 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern, every morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And if you ever miss it and you want to start your day, if you wake up late, if you sleep late and you wake up at 2 o'clock, and you say, hey, I missed everything that went on last night, you can listen to me on demand on iTunes, Google Play, Audio Boom, etc. Let's tell you what's happening tonight in the association. It is much, much more busy than it was last night with just 4 games. 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, the Spurs take on the Raptors. That should be a good one. The line is Toronto minus 5.5. The over-under is 208. The Raptors will be trying to stop LaMarcus Aldridge, who had his 7th 30-point game of the year the other night. The Raptors hopefully can continue to play well at home here for their fans. Kyle Lowry is back for them. We'll see how DeMar DeRozan does tonight. He was kind of quiet the other night, but that means he could explode in his next game. We'll tell you about the rest of the NBA matchups tonight next on Fantasy Sports Today and give you a little bit of hot stove news.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Fantasy Sports Today, I'm Scott Engel. Go to the Spurs and the Raptors will be the first tip-off tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern. 7:30 p.m. Eastern, it'll be the Heat taking on the Nets at the Barclays Center. The line is Miami minus 3.5. The over-under is 207. The Heat have won 8 of their past 9. 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, it's the Wizards and the Pistons on ESPN from Little Caesars Arena in Detroit. The line is Washington minus 1.5. The over-under is 208.5. Avery Bradley dealing with some groin issues. His availability is uncertain. He went back to Philadelphia to get to get some exams on the injury. In a game only fantasy players can maybe watch. 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, the Kings take on the Grizzlies. Of course, though, there's always something fantasy-worthy in games like this. And Tyreke Evans is coming off a real nice game against the Knicks. The Grizzlies actually won their last home game. 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern, it's the Suns and the Nuggets. The line is Denver minus 9.5. The over-under is 218. The Suns tend to be more competitive at home than they are on the road. At 10:30 p.m. Eastern, that the Knicks will take on the Jazz. This could be really a good game for Devin Booker. Be interesting to see him and Frank Ntilikina both on the same court from the same draft class. Booker is somebody I may use in daily tonight against the Knicks. Had a 34-point game the other night. The Knicks don't have great interior defense. I could see him driving to the hoop again and scoring a lot of points. The line is Utah minus 4.5. The over-under is 204. That game will be nationally televised on ESPN. 10:30 p.m. Eastern, it finishes off with the Pacers playing in the second night of a back-to-back against the injury-depleted Lakers. Lonzo Ball did not play the other night. Several other injuries, including Kyle Kuzma, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. We'll see what the Lakers have available tonight. The Pacers still expected to be without Miles Turner. The Lakers are 0-8 without Lonzo Ball in the lineup, so I'm sure they'd like to get him back tonight for sure. So that pretty much wraps it up for the NBA. If you want to know about all those injuries, what you need to do is to subscribe to DailyRoto.com. Right now, get their monthly pass, their weekly pass. You get lineup alerts in your inbox. And, of course, what sets them apart is a great Slack chat, a premium Slack chat, every evening before tip-off. And you're going to see a lot of the Daily Roto guys themselves in there. So that's something that you don't want to miss out on. So make sure you go over to DailyRoto.com right now. And, of course, you always want to listen to Lineup Lock Live right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Every night from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today. I'm Scott Engel. Let's go over to some other news in some other sports, and we'll have a little bit of an esports update coming for you shortly. But let's talk a little fantasy golf right now. John Rahm at the Career Builder Challenge was the leader after day one. Rahm is the top-ranked player in the field. He's number three in the world. He shot a 10-under 62 on Thursday at La Quinta Country Club to take the first-round lead in the Greenbrier Challenge. Rahm had the lowest score in his PGA Tour career, topping 64 2 years ago at Congressional in his first round as a professional. Austin Cook, Jason Kokrak, and Andrew Landry were a stroke behind Rahm at 63. And, of course, you can watch the rest on the Golf Channel today. In NASCAR, Danica Patrick will compete in the Daytona 500 this year. Sponsorship was a question for her when she was in the field as a full-time driver in the Monster Energy Cup Series last year. There are a lot of questions about whether she would return because her sponsorship deals were falling apart. But she does have a sponsor now for one race. GoDaddy is going to come back and return a sponsor for the Daytona 500. She is expected to retire from racing after competing in the Daytona 500 and the Indy 500 this year. She'll be in one NASCAR race, one open wheel race, and then she's pretty much done. She never won a NASCAR race, and she never won an Indy race. But when we start playing fantasy NASCAR for the season, Danica Patrick will be a pretty good pick because some of her most respectable finishes did come on restrictor plate tracks. In Major League Baseball, NBC Sports Philadelphia saying that the Phillies could make a play for Jake Arrieta if the price drops. Arrieta is still one of the biggest names out there right now. He has reportedly been working out with young outfielder Nick Williams during the offseason, and Williams has been trying to give him a sales pitch on coming to the Phillies. Published reports indicating that maybe the Phillies would not be willing to spend, but if the price continues to drop, then maybe they will make a strong play for him. So, Arrieta could go back to the Cubs. We've seen other teams mentioned as well as the Brewers, which I think would be a little bit of a surprise. Philadelphia could be a little bit of a surprise, too. Dustin Pedroia, as he continues to recover from knee surgery, according to published reports, he's going to be fighting to get ready for opening day. Right now, he's been cleared to start running. Last year, Pedroia hit .293 with 7 home runs and 62 RBIs in 105 games. At this point of his career, maybe somebody in the late rounds in the middle infield that could help your batting average, but probably not much other than that. Last year, he had wrist problems, and then he ended up with the season knee injuries. So certainly not somebody that's going to be high on your fantasy radar, although he used to be a long time ago. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today. I'm Scott Engel. We got a little bit more coming up, including the National Hockey League. We have some fantasy sports industry news and also some esports news as well. Of course, for the latest in esports, you want to check out the Esports Network on YouTube with Zorin T. And also check out the esports tab on sportsgrid.com. We have the latest Overwatch League roundup and a preview of the big Counter-Strike Global Offensive tournament coming up later this month. And I'm here 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern every morning, but you'll also be able to hear me this afternoon, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern on the Fantasy News Desk with Tony Cincotta and the new Roto Experts Weekend Edition as well, 9 to 12 Eastern on Saturdays with myself, Tony Cincotta, and Corey Parson. So make sure you tune in for that as well. And of course, if you ever miss this show, you can hear it on demand as well. So we'll go on to the National Hockey League next. And the All-Star game is going to be coming up soon. Just having some technical difficulties here trying to get to my National Hockey League's updates for you. So we may begin with esports if I continue to have some technical difficulties here. Of course, hockey, you can listen to Inside Edge Fantasy Hockey every week on demand on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You want to check out the latest in fantasy hockey as well from George Kurtz on the NHL tab. I've never met anybody that knows more than George Kurtz when it comes to fantasy hockey. So, lots more to cover here. Of course, we got the conference championship games coming up on Sunday. Nobody knows for sure about Tom Brady's hand. It's going to be analyzed a lot more on the Roto Experts in the morning today. The Patriots have certainly been coy about exactly which finger it is. So we're going to have to wait and see on that. Well, the Patriots just could be playing games on this. You know how Bill Belichick likes to throw his opponents off, keep them off balance, and maybe that is what Belichick is doing again. Maybe Brady will come out and throw for 300 yards again. People are saying, should you use him in daily? I think if you roll multiple lineups out there, you could never doubt Tom Brady fully. So maybe you want to throw three or four lineups out there and then see if he can get it done for you. I don't feel comfortable using Blake Bortles. Obviously, he's probably fourth out of all the quarterbacks for me this wild card weekend. Yes, he was able to get it done and not make any mistakes last week, but this will be a much tougher defensive assignment in terms of schematics. And this defense, while it ranked 29th in total yardage, the Patriots, they were top 10 in points allowed again. And if anybody can scheme it up to drive Blake Bortles crazy and make him look like the worst that he can possibly be, it's going to be Bill Belichick and Matt Patricia. And you really don't know what's happening there with the running backs for the New England Patriots, because you're going to have Rex Burkhead back. James White scored 2 touchdowns last week, and Deion Lewis is also in the mix. You're taking your daily outlook into your own hands by using any of those guys. You certainly can't trust them. Of course, Gronk is a great play if you can afford him. You can't just trust Brandon Cooks. I think he's become more of a role player more than anything. And I can't see Cooks doing anything deep against that secondary. From the Jaguars side, Leonard Fournette, I think he's going to have to work hard for his yardage this week. I think the way that the Patriots draw it up right now is sell out against Fournette, like you saw in the wild card round, and try to make Bortles beat you because he just can't. Defense and running game played a big, big role for Jacksonville against the Steelers, but I can't see them getting it done this week against the Patriots. I think this is going to be a lower scoring game for those of you who are betting here. All right, we'll try to get you some NHL next. Dealing with some difficulties here. We'll also tell you about some Fantasy Sports Trade Association Awards. That's next here on Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Here on Fantasy Sports Today, I'm Scott Engel. And in fantasy sports industry news, check out the latest on rotoexperts.com and dailyroto.com as Drew Dinkmeyer was named the Fantasy Sports Trade Association's Humanitarian of the Year. The full story available now at rotoexperts.com for his efforts in raising over $40,000 for clean water. So you have to check that out. Check out the full story on rotoexperts.com. Also, RotoWire getting an award for the best content across all sports for the FSTA, and Draft.com getting an FSTA award for the best draft room in fantasy sports. More FSTA and FSWA awards coming, and we'll certainly get you updated on that as well. The FSTA conference is coming up later this month, and we are going to have all the updates for you when the FSTA and FSWA awards come out. So, as we mentioned, as we've been talking about, the conference championship games are this weekend. Begins on Sunday, and some interesting tidbits for both teams. Blake Bortles, for all the knocks that people give him, has 14,928 passing yards since entering the league, the fourth most in NFL history by a player in his first four NFL seasons. There's another Blake Bortles fact for you. A lot of people have been passing them out. Leonard Fournette rushed for 109 yards and 3 touchdowns last week. He's the only rookie in NFL history with 100-plus rushing yards and 3 rushing touchdowns in a postseason game. He led all rookies with 9 rushing touchdowns and ranked second with 1,000 rushing yards this year. He's only one of 2 rookies in franchise history with 1,000 rush yards. For the Patriots, we've talked about the crowded backfield, but one thing about Deion Lewis is he has 507 scrimmage yards. It's an average of 126.8 per game with 5 touchdowns in his last 4 games, including the playoffs. James White has 179 scrimmage yards and 5 touchdowns in his past 2 postseason games since 2015. He has 15 touchdown catches, including the playoffs, the most among National Football League running backs. So that's a reason why people might want to use James White this week. But still, that backfield is very crowded. All right, real quickly, technical difficulties solved, so I want to bring you up to date on some other quick pieces of news. More on that Drew Dinkmeyer Award. It was a recognition of Dinkmeyer's Welly Maker efforts in 2017. The Welly Maker program ultimately raised over $40,000 and provided clean water solutions for over 1,300 people. He modeled his fundraising after the Millionaire Maker structure on DraftKings, asking fantasy players to contribute $20 a pop. RotoWire, as we said, best news in analysis and multiple sports award from the FSTA. And here's what is going on in esports. Lots to report. Last night in the Overwatch League, in a matchup between undefeated teams, it was the New York Excelsior 3, the Los Angeles Valiant nothing, the Houston Outlaws 4, the Dallas Fuel nothing, in one of the most dominant performances of the season so far. The LA Gladiators 3 and the Philadelphia Fusion 2. Three more matches tonight, and Season 8 of the North American League of Legends Championship Series begins Saturday with 5 matches at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Make sure you follow the Esports Network for everything there. The Roto Experts, it is next.